Our thoughts and prayers are with all those in Maui who have lost loved ones, so very many. And not only that, but many have lost homes and all their possessions. So we want to be of assistance as we can as fellow countrymen. And this brings the age-old question to the forefront. Why would a good and all-powerful God allow suffering and evil to exist? Yes, this is the atheist's main argument. It's a negative argument. What else do they have to prove God doesn't exist? Well, the point is, God is love. And that answers the argument. God is going to allow us freedom of choice to choose to obey Him or disobey, in which case there will be suffering in the world and, of course, evil. Who wants to be a robot, a puppet on a string? That's not life. So that's the answer to the atheist argument very quickly. But I want us to study this morning the causes of suffering. We'll need to have several sermons to deal with this properly. And this study can help us to overcome suffering in our lives. And it can help us to be better prepared to answer those who are questioning, doubting, and yes, blaming God for their problems in life. And so we need to understand as members of the Lord's church that we're not guarded from any and all suffering. Of course not. Some just seem to think that, but it's certainly not the case. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so can we, despite our suffering, our tribulations, trials, and temptations. And so we'll want to begin our study on the causes of suffering in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE. As we know, that stands for the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we strive to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also with a proper attitude, and thus in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you are interested, please let us know, and we'll set up a time at your convenience. Also, if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. So again, our address is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And one other thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're ready to get into our study on the causes of suffering. Number one, living in a sinful world causes suffering. Yes, sir, we live in a world which is not paradise, despite those who think that they can create paradise here on the earth. They believe in one world government and all these other wokeness mess. I won't get into all that. But the point is, paradise was lost when Adam and Eve sinned against God. But before they sinned in the Garden of Eden, they enjoyed true paradise without suffering. And so the consequences of sin entering the world are so enormous and terrible that it's difficult for me to properly describe it. Well, God's attitude was for mankind to choose to be obedient and enjoy paradise. Remember, God put Adam to sleep before he took his rib to create woman, his wife Eve, his helpmate. So let's keep that in mind. And after Adam and Eve sinned, they died immediately in the spiritual sense, but in the physical sense, they died later, just as God said. So when Satan told the first lie, evil entered the world, Genesis 3:4, ye shall not surely die. He added one word, didn't he? But it changed what God said. He's the father of lies, John 8:44. So when sin entered the world, what happened? Fellowship with God was lost. There needed to be a way of reconciliation, and thus the plan of redemption began to unfold. Study Genesis 3:15. So, not only was fellowship with God lost, but so was paradise. And thus, disobedience to God is evil. Yes, there's evil in the world when man disobeys God, and the results of this evil, of course, is also suffering. After losing paradise, living in a sinful world produced the following. Let's notice what happened. As man, that is Adam and Eve, sinned against God and lost the fellowship there in the garden with God. Ignorance. This is one of the results, and it's a cause of suffering. All of us have been hurt by not knowing something was wrong, drinking bad water, or eating contaminated food. They didn't have that problem in paradise. No. What about the situation where an expectant mother takes medication that can harm her unborn child without knowing it was harmful? This has happened. Deformities. Medications have been taken off the market because of this. But it was ignorance. She didn't take it knowingly, thinking this was going to harm her unborn child. Of course not. And two, accidents are a cause of suffering. This again is under the heading of living in a sinful world. All of us have been hurt by falling, bumping into something, being cut by a sharp object. Automobile accidents, of course, can kill people. Some people have been injured, and even for life. Countless people have been injured, of course, because there's so many of these accidents. Perhaps some of you have been in an accident that injured you. Well, natural disasters, number three, are a cause of suffering, such as the fires that caused all the loss of life in Maui and the loss of property, possessions. Was it natural? I'm not sure about the cause, but it may have been. But there are many other natural disasters we could name. Earthquakes, tidal waves, tornadoes, hurricanes, local floods, mudslides, droughts, diseases caused by insects and microorganisms. Of course, we went through COVID. Whether that was man-made or natural, I don't claim to know exactly, but you understand these are all situations that cause suffering. And what we need to understand here, the universal flood in the days of Noah was not natural. but the after effects have no doubt been the cause of the natural disasters we've just named. That's right. These three causes of suffering that we've just named, ignorance, accidents, and natural disasters, can be temporary or permanent. Being careful helps us to lower the rate of accidents, and being aware of where a disaster may occur is helpful, but that doesn't guarantee us a life free of accidents, does it? Free of diseases and disasters? No. So the point we need to emphasize here is we live in an environment in which we can freely accept or reject God's will. That's right, we can receive or reject. We have the choice. And we need to remember, life on earth is brief and uncertain. James 4:14. We know that a vapor can appear for a little while, but then it's gone. And that's the way life is. It goes by quickly. So providing an ideal environment in which mankind can freely choose to obey or not to obey God means that there will be specific conditions resulting in wrong choices. Notice Deuteronomy 30:19, as God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. What choices are we making? You see, God allows us to do that. So instead of blaming or criticizing God, why not be a useful servant of God and help those who are suffering, such as those in Maui right now? Remember, after Gideon said, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? That's what a lot of people are asking today. Well, God challenged Gideon to deliver the Israelites from the Midianite oppression. They had taken them over, were oppressing them, but God brought up a deliverer, and it was Gideon. And with 300 men, with the providence of God, they defeated thousands of Midianites. Remember, studying Judges, starting Judges 6. So, here's something else that causes suffering: the sins of others. Pharaoh, what did he do? Killed little babies, little male babies. Fortunately, Moses was not one of them. How many people are killing little babies today, not realizing what they're doing? They're listening to the woke folks who know best. They're not thinking of the rights of the child to live. They're thinking of the mother's right. It's her right. No, it's not her right to take another life. What about King Herod? How many little children did he kill? Remember, he wanted to do away with the Messiah. Jesus didn't come to take his throne. He was no threat. Fortunately, he failed, didn't he? But look at how many innocent lives. Hitler, we could talk about Adolf Hitler. How many lives did he take? And other evil leaders we could name. Drunk drivers, abusers of children. How many mass shootings has there been? Going into schools and killing children. And we could talk about persecuting Christians. The sins of others causes suffering. To lose our freedom to choose to do God's will or not to do God's will is to lose our life. God allows this, yes, but it's certainly not with His approval. If God protected innocent people from being hurt by the wrong choices of evil people, He would violate man's free will. We need to understand that. But let us go on. as we're under the heading of living in a sinful world, causes suffering. Here's another one. The sins of Bob Hawkins causes suffering. My sins cause my parents and others to suffer. But the greatest suffering I have caused is that of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My sins caused him to suffer on the cross. Yes, as we go to Isaiah 53, let's notice verses 3 through 7. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. If that doesn't get us motivated to serve our Lord and Savior, what would? 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." You see, the plan of redemption, excuse me, as it unfolded, it climaxed at the cross, did it not? But here's another cause of suffering. Number two, God working in the lives of his children causes suffering. We've talked about living in a sinful world causes suffering. Here's number two. God working in the lives of his children causes suffering. Being chastened by God, yes, that causes suffering, does it not? Hebrews 12:6, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Well, just as loving parents discipline their children, God disciplines his children. And that means physical suffering and disappointment, does it not? Study Hebrews 12, 9 through 11. 2 Corinthians 12, let's note the Apostle Paul in verses 7 through 10 as he revealed this. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And this is what God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And immediately Paul accepted that and realized, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul realized when he was weak, he needed God. So that's a plus, isn't it? This is a benefit from suffering. Something else, being tested by God causes suffering. Well, let's take Job for an example there. He was put to the supreme test when Satan accused God of putting a hedge about Job to ensure his faithfulness, Job 1 and 2. But Job endured, losing 10 children and all his possessions, except for his wife and a few servants left to give him the message. of what he had lost. And in the second round, he lost his health. His three friends came and quietly sat with him for a while, but then they began to accuse Job of deserving this suffering. What a test that was. Now God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. Here's another example of being tested. Hebrews 11:17-19, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed God would raise up Isaac even if he took his life. You see, that's real faith, isn't it? Biblical faith. But he was tried. Of course, God prevented him from stabbing Isaac with the knife. The ram was caught in the thicket. Remember that? Well, Abraham came out as gold, didn't he, from that trial? Well, notice 1 Peter 1:7, speaking of gold, we know that gold ore is refined in order to burn off the impurities, just like we're going to have noticed that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We want to come out as pure gold. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. That's right. Fiery trial. To obey the gospel causes suffering for the person who is shunned by their families. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34-36, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. How many of us have experienced this after becoming a Christian? And also, under the heading that God's working in the lives of his children, that can cause suffering, of course. Being a true follower of Christ, being Christ-like, can cause suffering. 2 Thessalonians 1:5, which is the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Suffering for being a Christian. Not just being shunned by family members, former friends or whatever, but in society. Yes, and it's getting worse, isn't it? Sad to say. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:19-21. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We could go on and on. 1 Peter 4:16-19 as well. But let's mention this before our time is gone. God's providence working in a person's life can cause suffering. For example, Joseph suffered in a number of ways, so that he could be in Egypt at the right time under the right circumstances. Remember that? Paul, a Christian, was a prisoner when he went to Rome by ship and was able to preach and teach the precious gospel of Christ, Acts 27:28. So with the time remaining, let's ask these questions. Number one, how do we react to the fact that our sins have caused the only begotten Son of God to suffer, as we noted in Isaiah 53, prophecy that was fulfilled with our Lord and Savior being the Lamb of God led to the slaughter? Question number two, do we have godly sorrow for our sins or worldly sorrow as Judas, who went out and hung himself, Matthew 27:3-5? We want to have godly sorrow, realizing we've sinned against God, and do something about it. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Now, question number three. How do we react to the love of God in allowing His only begotten Son of God to go to the cross and bear our sins? We love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19 should be our attitude. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. Are we keeping His commandments? Well, if not, how can we say that we love Him? No one should ever blame God, because God is love, the very essence of love. God is perfect. God is just. God is complete holiness and righteousness and so much more we could say. So as we've studied this morning, being in a sinful world causes suffering. And God working in the lives of His children is a major cause of suffering. And there are a number of other causes that we need to study, and so we'll want to do that, Lord willing, next week. And so, as we need to understand, living in a sinful world, yes, sir, that does cause suffering to us all. We're all affected directly, indirectly, due to our own sins and the sins of others. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So we who are accountable, yes, we need salvation. We need to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We first have to hear the truth. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's our Savior. He went to the cross and died and took upon Him our sins. But He was resurrected on the third day and is now reigning in heaven. And He is the head of His body, the true church. So we need to believe that. Mark 16:16. Now we're ready to repent, make a change of wills, and turn away from sin and do the will of God. Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And then we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, all the conversions. And we thank you so much for listening today.